Welcome back. Episode 38 of the Grapes and Garlic podcast, powered by Overtime Media. So we just partnered with Overtime Media.
Who powers us now. They're powering the podcast.
And they are more or less like a sports podcast hub.
Yeah. You can get all kinds of NFL, MLB, NHL, every sport it looked like pretty much on there.
Yep. And they only have like 9 NFL teams right now.
Yep. They're coming in. We're the first Viking podcast.
Yeah, which is really cool. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully we can kind of get together with the Packers or Bears guys. And
mm-hmm. No Lions podcast yet. Not surprising. No. You know, why? Who wants to talk about that team?
Nobody. I want to make fun of that team.
Yeah. You know, that's... Should we make a separate podcast where we just
rip on the Lions?
We can do that here. We can do that here, I think. We're fine with that. So, yeah, Power of Overtime Media. We'll get some... you might start seeing some ads sprinkled in. Not
my live Weed Man Lawn Care
which
reads.
Brings us to this week's episode. So why don't you tell them a little bit about Weed Man Lawn Care?
They are North America's largest franchise-owned lawn care company. It is 100% kid and pet safe, which is great. You can take your kids out after you get home from work. They can go play in the lawn. Dog can, you know, run out on the grass.
You don't got to worry about them getting, you know, I don't know. Sick pesticides? I don't know.
Yeah,
you know.
I don't know. I've been watching Chernobyl.
Oh, I saw the first episode.
Oh man, it's great. So you know your kids won't get radiation poisoning.
Yeah,
which looks
puking
very
all over
painful.
The place. Yeah, faces are melting off. So, this will not happen with Weed Man. I don't know about the other guys. Your face will not get burned off with Weed Man.
No. So you know if you want to protect your kids from radiation poisoning, use Weed Man Lawn Care and. Give them a call at 651-796-2346 or visit them online at weedmanusa.com.
Yeah, tell them Grapes and Gordak sent you.
Tell them that we sent you and then give us your money.
Yeah, well, I don't think we get much from that. But, Grape, you know, we'll take it. You know,
we're more. It's the game fun.
This is true. All right, so jump into just some news. You know, kind of quiet. OTA's going on.
Yeah, Diggs isn't at OTAs.
It seems like some people want to make that into like a big deal.
Yeah, because people were, especially after Rudolph made that thing about not skipping.
Wanting to be a leader and being there and stuff. I kind of feel like that had nothing to do with Diggs.
I think.
And more to do with Rudolph's situation.
100% agree, but people like to, I feel like they like
spin
to
it.
Take that quote
uh-huh.
and then,
they're like, oh, he's taking a little shot at Diggs there for not being there. It is a little bit annoying that everyone else is there.
Yeah.
It's like, can't you just be there? Come on. We'd have a whole group. We'd look really nice. But I don't think it, like, I've heard some people like, oh, now he's falling behind. It's like, dude, Diggs is going to, he'll be
Diggs
fine.
Diggs is top five receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
So
he's
don't
not,
worry
it's
about
not
him.
Like he's suddenly going to struggle. He'll pick up the offense just fine. It's not like he doesn't have a playbook.
Yeah.
So, you know, I also saw, I think it was Doogie was talking about he's having some house problems.
Some house problems.
Yeah, he replied to someone on Twitter and was saying he's having some problems with his house. It's kind of vague. Don't know what that means.
Oh, I think he needs a good plumber.
He needs Ryan to stop by and help him out. I feel like I don't know what that means. Is that like because if it's something like that, it's like pretty sure Diggs can hire someone to like take care of that stuff or like to watch his house. But like I don't know.
Is that Kepler again?
Yeah, Kepler's 2 home runs already. We got the Twins Cleveland game on.
Wild.
There we go.
Maybe Diggs is having house problems, and maybe that means like family issues.
Maybe he's gonna get robbed, like Le'Veon Bell did. Did you see that?
Oh, Le'Veon Bell got robbed now.
$500,000 worth of jewelry. He left 2 ladies there and went to the gym.
What a
acquaintances
fool.
Of his. Seems to me like he must not have knew their real names, because who steals $500,000 worth of jewelry if he knows who you are?
Yeah.
So I mean, I think we all know where you know. He must have found those ladies, you know.
Yeah, on the corner. In New York.
I'm not sure Le'Veon Bell has to go to the corner, but
well, whatever. He grabbed one of the cars from the strip. But
so I don't know what that means. But Diggs not being there, he was there for a couple days, wasn't he? There for a couple days? Or am I wrong on that? I thought he was not there. Then he popped there for a couple days, and then he was gone again.
I think that's kind of
so.
Today's the last day. It was the last day of.
I think so. Yeah. Yep. From what I believe, I think next weekend there might be something with it, and then it's over. But, yeah, I'm not worried about it. I feel like that was like, there's nothing to talk about. Let's just talk about Diggs not being there.
And, yeah, Diggs is too good. Well, he's really good. He doesn't need to be there for OTAs. It's
Odell didn't even show up to OTAs. And he's on a new team.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. New team, new offense, not even there. And, well, speaking of the Browns, do you see Baker Mayfield kind of taking shots at Duke Johnson?
I saw Duke Johnson's thing, and then I read the headline about Baker. What did Baker say?
Well, I guess not really taking shots, but they asked him if he agrees with it or whatnot. He's like, I don't know, like, he's got to do what he's got to do, but, like, if you're going to be here, you just got to do your job. Like, you got a job to do, just do it.
Oh, man.
So, he's not going to get any passes from Baker.
Yeah, Duke probably should get traded. Where's he going to get any playing time? I mean, Chubb. Well, I guess Kareem Hunt's not actually going to be active for 8 weeks, so he'll be around.
I mean, he could play there.
Yeah, he could play.
But he wants, like, a lead running back role. It's like, dude, you're 5'9", yeah. buck 85, soaking wet.
Yeah, come on. Your career path, at best, is like Darren Sproles.
Yes.
Like, you will always be 1B.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Darren Sproles has made a lot of money.
Still he's wants to play, I think.
And he's taken a hell of a beating. So if you can do that for as long as Sproles seems to, like, tears ACL or open year
it's so
every
funny.
Single year, and then it's always, oh, I'm back.
It's crazy how some guys bounce back from injuries and other guys just can't at all. So Sproles has always done that. Gets hurt. Yeah, you know, there he is.
Tough little monkey.
Okay. Bad use of word there.
Yeah, but that's, people know me well enough to know that's not what I meant. I would hope so.
Terrible. Terrible stuff there, Ryan. Yeah, other things, I guess we kind of touched on Rudolph. Nothing's happening with Rudolph.
No,
I think he's going to stay, but clearly something's going to happen, but nothing's happened yet.
Yeah.
I thought maybe when the Patriots got rid of ASJ, Austin Safarian Jenkins.
I don't think that didn't move the needle for me.
I don't know.
That didn't even come across my mind until somebody said it on Twitter and, like, tried to make that a thing. I'm like, no. I think the Patriots are set.
I don't think they're set, but I think they're,
maybe not set.
Cutting ASJ didn't mean anything to them. Like, that was like a, maybe he'll be good. If he's not, whatever. Like, they don't really have a good tight end. Like, it doesn't change the fact that ASJ's gone or there.
Yeah.
No matter what.
I don't see many teams really eyeing Rudolph right now anyways. Maybe the Raiders.
Yeah. I don't know.
Cardinals, maybe? I don't know what Cliff Kingsbury does with tight ends.
Who do they have? Did they draft someone?
I feel like they did draft someone, but it was later in the draft. And they have Ricky Seals-Jones, who, like, I kind of like because he seems to be kind of fast. And I don't know.
Ricky Seals-Jones is decent. I mean, he's not.
He's startable. I mean, he's not.
I think he's good enough where you're not going to want to trade for Rudolph and pay Rudolph $7 million. So.
This is true, especially when you're on a rebuilding team.
Mm-hmm. Anything else going on in OTAs? I mean, it's been pretty quiet.
I haven't heard much.
Yeah. Treadwell, you know, nothing. This is usually where Treadwell's, you know.
Yeah, this is usually like where I start hyping him up. Like, oh, did you see that? And I'm just rolling on the Treadwell season, calling him best receiver on the roster. But nothing.
He had his one interview. I don't know if you saw his interview where he was kind of like talking just, it's not a make or break year. I'm just coming in here, you know, trying to make sure I do best for the team, da 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 da. I was listening to PA and Lieber, and they were just killing him for not, how do I put it, like not seeming more like desperate to be like to make it, like to see, they wanted him to say, no, this is a make or break year. I got to go out there and like do everything I can. I'm fighting for a roster spot, you know, kind of more like tell the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, instead of like trying to be the team player and being like, almost like, you know, where Carl Anthony Towns, he's always just like apologizing for him, like his mistakes. It's like, dude, just to say it, you're really good and the rest of the team sucks. Yeah. Like,
I like it when athletes come out and just
say what they mean. Instead, Treadwell's doing the very much the like,
he's doing the total Minnesota.
Whatever thing I can do to help this team, if that's, you know, just, you know, blocking on rundowns or, you know, catching a slant
or
here and there.
Getting caught.
I'll take my pay. I like everyone just like in the comments or anything. It's just cut him. He's terrible. It's like, you know, we literally lose money if we cut him. Yeah. You can't cut him.
Yeah. We still have to pay the man.
Yeah, and you get more dead money this year. We'd be like we'd be over the cap.
And remember, cap, guys, we only have $8.
Yeah, you can't. We got to pay him. You could trade him. You could trade him.
You could
save
definitely
some money.
Trade him. But I don't think anyone really wants to give you a conditional seventh.
No one.
Him.
I don't think anyone wants him. He's shockingly still 23 years old. I mean, it makes sense because he was very young.
He was 20.
I went through all the players on our roster, and it's like, holy cow, he's so young. But man, is he just. got to get a lot better.
You know, he's going to make some plays. You know, Diggs has been on OTA, so I'm sure.
Yeah, Diggs has been gone, so Treadwell's basically passed him. Like, yeah. That's what happens.
You know, you got to show up to turn that spot. You know, Diggs now has to come into a training camp, you know, basically thinking he's the number three receiver.
I think he's been passed by Taylor and by BB.
Well, I wouldn't go that far because, I mean, Treadwell and Thielen are pretty good. I mean, so both Thielen and Diggs are chasing Treadwell? Is that kind of
what what is happening.
I kind of talked myself into this right now.
I was listening to Matt Burke was on. I think it was also PA. And they're talking about Diggs again. Burke's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. He'll be fine. Yeah, it's OTAs. And like they were saying, you know, he's supposed to be a leader of the team. And again, it's like I was just thinking, as soon as training camp starts, no one is going to care at all. Like, it's not like anyone's going to be like, remember, though, Diggs missed, like, that weekend, like, 2 months ago. Going to be, like...
It's going to be huge. I don't know if he's going to be able to pick up this offense.
It's, like, just filling time, you know? It's, like, right now we're talking about it. Because there's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not an actual thing that matters.
But at least we're not saying that... We're not talking like it's an actual
thing. Yeah, not like a hot take. We're actually talking about how it's not a big deal. So,
yeah. You
know? So we're right.
Yeah, we're on the good
side
of this.
Yeah, I think we're right.
We're on the Diggs side of this.
We're on Diggs' side. It's always good to be on Diggs' side.
Always. It's going to be hard not to be on his side unless he forces his way out of here somehow. That's not going to happen because he's, you know, a Minnesota guy at heart.
Oh, is he?
Well, yeah. We obtained his soul when he had the Minnesota Miracle.
Yeah, that's true. He will always...
I think we stole his soul.
I
think his soul lives in US Bank Stadium.
We let Case Keenum leave very quickly. He threw that pass. And a lot of fans were like, see you later, Case. I mean, a lot of fans were also like, are you kidding me? This guy's a hero.
Yeah, but then, like, Diggs, you know, everyone's like, you gotta keep Diggs.
Yeah, we all kind of were just like, no, it was mostly Diggs. It was all Diggs that made that play. Or Marcus Williams. One of the two.
We know it was Diggs. Diggs is the one who threw his helmet.
Marcus Williams tackled his own teammate and then missed a tackle.
Well, you know, that's not our fault. It's the ref's fault.
How are you going to spin this that the ref did something?
Because if he gets there too soon...
Oh, he's worried about a penalty? Yep. Okay, so just do nothing correctly. Absolutely. That's the best way to do it.
Absolutely.
You think if he catches that and goes out of bounds, you think Kai Forbath makes that field goal?
God, no.
I was just going to say that. Absolutely not.
God, no.
And not only does he not make it...
I've seen that movie before.
Yeah, it's going to be... He's going to miss it dramatically. Like, either, like, 40 yards to the right or it gets blocked.
Well,
one of the two.
It'd be 40 yards to the left. But I honestly
wide left. He's going to hook it. Always a hook. That's true.
Always wide left.
Blair Walsh left. That
Gary Anderson left.
Cody Parkey,
double doink. God, I'm so glad Chris Collinsworth called it a double doink. That was
my favorite part of the Viking season last year was the double doink for the Bears.
Yes, that was the best part of the entire season, I believe.
Which is shocking because that was against the Eagles, who I hated like so much going into the season.
Oh, I know, but I think it's because the Bears beat us Week 17. Granted, you know we should have been there, but we're not winning that game. In my opinion.
At Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, we would have got slaughtered.
Yeah, like, we're not winning 16-15. I don't care what team we bring to the table. Like,
I went to that first Bears game, and, like, even though...
We're so bad at Soldier Field.
Yeah, we're just... It's just a bad vibe for us. Like, things go wrong.
Always.
I don't know. Like, that was one where someone had a pick six against us there, where Cousins just threw right into coverage, and it was just like... What is going on here? Like, and he missed that deep throw to Diggs on the bootleg.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Oh, it's just, I don't know.
I saw that pop up on Twitter. Field, I was horrible. Like,
Did you see someone, I don't know who, what media thing it was, but they're like, is Trubisky closing the gap to dethroning Rodgers or something? How is this even news? I'm so confused.
And people were like, well, you know, if we're going to talk age and contract value, absolutely, he's already there. Like, no, we are not going to talk. There's no way Trubisky is the best quarterback in the NFC North.
Yeah, and having a bad quarterback on a cheap contract is not a good thing.
No.
He's still a bad quarterback. I think Trubisky's not a good player.
We'll find out.
I could be wrong, but...
Just like Carson Wentz, not good at football.
Okay, I'm not on that bandwagon, but he's injury prone.
He should be.
He hasn't been good in a few
years. It's a good one to be on.
Okay.
I guess Wentz, bad quarterback, bad example. Jared Goff, also bad example.
I thought Jared Goff was total garbage, though, and But who didn't think he was total garbage after his first year?
I should have let you finish.
I mean, he was garbage with Jeff Fisher.
Yes.
I still think he might be kind of not that good, though.
He's very much in that
Kirk Cousins, Matt Stafford, Derek Carr. You know, some are a little better, some are a little worse. But, like, good coaching, good scheme, they look pretty good.
Yep.
Bad coaching, bad sort of supporting cast, bad line, they look not that great. They go 8-7.
Yeah.
Or you're Matt Stafford, who's made, like, one playoff game ever. Like Kirk Cousins, who's made one playoff game ever. So,
on a positive note, we'll go back to the Minneapolis Miracle.
You guys can keep
thinking about that, seeing as you're talking about how Kirk Cousins only made one playoff game. Like, that's a little upsetting.
And he lost.
I know.
To the Packers.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't know what you want to talk about the Miracle. You got something to say about it? Did you see Aaron Rodgers fail to chug a beer at the Bucks game?
Yes.
And then Stafford and Trubisky tried to troll him.
Yes.
By chugging beers better. Did you see Rodgers' response?
Yes.
Pretty good. Pretty good response. I don't like, you know, saying good things about Aaron Rodgers, but he put those two in their place.
Definitely. If the listeners don't know,
you should explain it.
Didn't he say at
least there's something they're better than me at?
Yeah.
Something along those lines. I don't know exactly what it was. Basically, he's a better quarterback, and I'm really glad you guys can chug beers, but I'll be beating you on Sunday. Like,
exactly. Like,
just, I don't know. I've
got the arm talent. You can chug all the beers you want. Do you know why I've got arm talent? Because I'm not hammering down beers, assholes.
You know what I was thinking, though? I was thinking, okay, Kirk Cousins, has he ever had a beer?
Kirk Cousins has never put
anything. Seems like a wine guy to me.
I don't think Kirk Cousins has ever taken an Advil in his life.
He is like just one of those guys. It's like, which he's is such good.
A straight
like,
shooter. Oh, I have zero problem with it. It's, I mean, I like to make fun of him about it because it's like,
it's initially what I thought. He won't be the one on the Jumbotron chugging a beer. Definitely not.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's quirky. Like, I like that Kirk Cousins comes off as the guy that.
He's been on the Power Trip a few times lately, and he was on with PA a little bit, and like he's starting to like let his personality show a little bit. I feel like a little more than like he's a little robotic and super straight laced, you know, like that, which reminds me a lot of Sam Bradford. But Sam Bradford was also like super dull.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping like Cousins, you know.
Well, yeah, he's probably getting a little more.
He does his dead arm dance. He's got some things he's got going on. You know, it's just big stuff. So.
And you know, he shows some emotion. He's got emotion on the field.
Yeah, he did yell "you like that" once very loudly at someone in the.
Well, and he's always going, "Yeah!" So, I mean, I like him. I like him. I like Kirk Cousins. People can badmouth him all he wants, but
that's my second
quarterback.
My first
one is Teddy Bridgewater.
I'm not sure Cousins has made my second. I'm really a big Culpepper fan.
Well, I know, but you know, he's not in the league right now.
Okay.
I'm talking.
Is Brett Favre in the league? Love that guy.
Brett Favre. All right, let's rank Vikings quarterbacks. It's got to go Teddy, Dante, Favre.
It's really messed up putting Favre that high, but that season to me was like one of the best seasons ever. So I don't really care. It was a lot funner than any fucking Brad Johnson season I ever watched. So Teddy over Culpepper, you're going? That's what you're going with? Obviously, we weren't around for Tarkington. I'm sure like a bunch of older people like would be like, are you crazy? Teddy's my guy, I think. I think that's number one. Teddy B. Hero. Legend.
No, I'm going Culpepper. I'm going Culpepper Teddy.
It's so funny because the same people.
Dante. Oh, man. You know, my dad always told me, he's like, you weren't young enough to realize that if Dante wasn't throwing to Moss, he was bad. It's like, yeah, but I don't remember that stuff. I just remember how good he was throwing to Moss.
He was really good throwing to Moss.
Oh, I dude threw darts and, you know.
Also, he was like 250 pounds that could run. It was awesome.
I love watching the quarterback draws, you know, near the end zone, or not even the draw, just, you know, rolling out. Nobody, okay, I'm going to roll over this linebacker real quick.
Yeah. Culpepper, awesome. I'm going to put Teddy ahead of him, though. I want to. I actually think Teddy's a better quarterback than Culpepper.
Yes.
Like,
I think so.
Yeah. Who's your third?
Brett Favre.
Not T-Jac? You look like you were thinking TJ.
I was thinking Kelly Holcomb.
That doesn't even count.
How about the Sage Rosenfels year?
As he backed up Favre? I was prepared for him to be our starter. I was behind it. 100%. I was too. Sage just needs a chance. This guy's going to be good. I think we still would have made the playoffs with Sage. 10-6?
10-6 with Sage for sure.
10-6. Mark it down. Do we have any other cool quarterbacks? People like talking about Tommy Kramer. Spurgeon Win. Okay, you're naming just bad quarterbacks now.
Well, yeah. Brooks Bollinger.
So, you know what? Someone said Warren Moon? We have never had a quarterback start 16 games back-to-back years.
Never.
Never.
Never?
Never. Can you name one? I think it was Nick Olsen.
Did Brad Johnson ever do it? Brad Johnson never did it? Not in the mid-90s?
Not that I know of. Brad Johnson... apparently not. This is the stat I read on Twitter. I took it as fact.
I'm inclined to...
I mean, even Brett Favre played every game, but then the next year got hurt. So which means this year, Cousins...
He's going to play 16 games. There we go. Yeah,
he's gonna stop it. So that's he's a street stopper.
Wait, the Vikings have never?
The Vikings have never.
Since Tarkenton.
Well, there wasn't 16 games back then.
Oh, 16 games.
Yeah.
Got it.
Basically start 32 straight games is what I'm kind of thinking the stat is.
Yeah.
And the problem is, too, we also keep changing quarterbacks all the time. Like, we had so many years where it's like, Gus Frat, back to T-Jack. Oh, now we're going to go with Brooks Bollinger, Kelly Holcomb, Donovan McNabb. We had Donovan fucking McNabb.
Donovan McNabb, he's number three.
No, he's dead. Donovan McNabb is dead last. Oh, that fucking bum. That dude just got fat.
So bad.
Remember how, like, he didn't give a shit. He cashed his paycheck.
So bad.
He
the Donovan McNabb.
What was it, like four games?
Yeah, four.
Skipping balls at receivers' legs.
All of a sudden,
he was horrible.
It forced an unready Ponder.
Ponder! Oh, man.
Onto the field.
I would say I would rather watch Josh Freeman's one game than Donovan McNabb.
Oh, God, no. God, no. Josh
Freeman. I was excited for Josh Freeman.
Me, too. I was at your. We were watching that. We watched that together.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
At the place in Chaska.
This is just our lifetime. You know who the Packer fans have had? Basically, they're.
Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. We just named, like, 15 shitty quarterbacks, and they've had two.
Oh,
besides those, like, first 2 years of our lives. When
don't
they had,
forget
like,
when they
Malcolm
had Matt Flynn for four games that they had to sit through and watch.
Yeah, as he tore up the league.
Don't forget about the Brett Hundley year.
Oh, that's what they get, that Brett Hundley year.
that is exactly what they get.
They deserve all of Brett Hundley. That's what they get. And, hey, Aaron Rodgers last year, not that good. Not that good.
He really wasn't.
Mediocre at best. Very Ponder-esque, if you ask me.
I think Rodgers is on his downfall. If you ask me, I think.
Oh, he peaked years ago.
Oh yeah,
he's definitely on the backside of his career.
His first 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, whatever it was. After his 3 years of sitting.
No, that's when he was at his best. When he was backing up Favre, holding a clipboard. Those are peak Rodgers years.
That's peak Rodgers.
Peak Rodgers. Put her in the old vice. You know, they show that clip a lot. Him and Favre, the one time they liked each other.
When they were playing against each other?
No, that was they were teammates. Yeah. Anyways, a little quarterback talk there for you.
Aaron Rodgers, done though.
Oh, yeah, toast. How attached are you to Cousins? I feel like we could trade him tomorrow and I'd be like, okay, whatever. I'll move on quickly.
Yeah.
He's very Bradford right now to me. Because he hasn't done anything to, like...
No, if we made the...
Yeah, no, kind of like a playoff run.
If we went 13-3 last year... Like,
but Case Keenum did that, and I still didn't really... But I guess we didn't really credit him. It was kind of like, okay, this is a little smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, but I mean, if Cousins is throwing the ball like he usually does, like, he throws a pretty ball.
Well, if we go 8-7-1, and next year our offense jumps, and, like, Cousins has, like, a really good season, and then it would feel like the offense was kind of the reason. And, yeah, he actually throws highlight reel passes.
True.
So, but besides Culpepper and Teddy, I don't feel like I really, the year of Favre, yeah. I mean, that's why he gets to be number three.
Otherwise, it's just been a quarterback carousel. Sprinkling some Jeff George.
Jeff George. I did like me some Jeff George, though. The fist pump.
Yeah.
right up there with Dante getting his roll on, you know. These QBs, they got their moves.
Tad Bowman.
Not a fan of him.
St. Cloud State, man.
I don't care. Todd Bowman. Garbage. Sean Hill. Any quarterback where, like, Todd Bowman came in and then he did really good, like, for a game. So then immediately everyone's like, It's just Moss. It's not because Culpepper's good. It's just because Moss. Because look at, even Bauman's good with Moss.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I like Culpepper. So you know what? Take your Todd Bauman nonsense and get it out of here. I don't want to hear it. Ted Bauman.
Who started the year Culpepper got hurt? Who was their quarterback after that?
After that?
Is that Sean Hill?
Could have been. I don't know. I shot the whole... It was very sad. He was so bad at the beginning of that season, though. Wasn't he, like, he had, like, so many fumbles and stuff?
Fumbles
and that was the year after his, like, would-have-been MVP season.
It was the year after we traded Moss. Or the year we traded Moss.
Mm. So the theory that it's all Moss is very... It's got a lot of... I was young, you know. I didn't know who... I just really liked Culpepper. He was big. He threw a long ball. Got his roll on.
Yep. And he was a linebacker wearing number 11. You know, that's all it was.
Yeah. And Moss is fucking sweet, too, though.
Who would you rather... Not even... All right. So, what if we got, like, Moss with Diggs and Thielen? Let's talk about that. And how unstoppable that would be.
You just want to talk about how Jeff Badette's going to be like Randy Moss? Yes. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I'm all in on that.
I don't need Randy Moss. I just need someone to go fast and deep.
4.27 40 at the pro day? Do you need someone like that? Because apparently we've got that.
We've got that. Maybe. I also saw a guy called Troy Williamson that had speed, too. It doesn't mean he can catch.
Yeah, but, you know, Troy Williamson, you know, Badette wasn't drafted.
Seventh overall? Was that what? No.
Williamson was seventh overall,
right?
Because we got the
That's never smart when you trade like a star player like that and then you immediately draft his replacement. Very bad.
I feel like that hardly ever works.
Yeah, and it just seems like bad mojo to be like, oh, we're going to get a new burner receiver, this guy over here.
Yeah.
And then he drops a couple balls, and I'm sure he's just like, oh, my God, I'll never be able to be Randy Moss.
Yeah, these guys are expecting me to be Moss. Like,
All the fans are like, yes, we got another Moss. Yeah, let's go. Like,
wait,
I really wanted Mike Williams that year.
Okay.
Was that the year? Yeah, the original Mike Williams, not these fake ones that showed up later. Who was the other Mike Williams? Wasn't there another one?
He's the Chargers Mike Williams. Oh.
There was another one. There's a third one. And he was, like, better than the one Mike Williams.
Yeah.
But then that big Mike Williams, that big guy from USC, came back with the Seahawks.
Wasn't there a Mike Williams with Tampa?
Ah, damn it. I don't know.
I think it was Mike Williams.
Is that from in Tampa? Michael Sims Walker?
Mike Sims Walker.
That's a Jaguars. Yeah.
But Mike Williams, out of Syracuse?
Oh, is that sounds right.
From Tampa?
I'm looking it up right now. This is big. This is stuff you got to look up. Yeah, Mike Williams from Tampa.
From Syracuse.
Fourth rounder. Syracuse.
Big guy.
And he was better than the other Mike Williams.
Yes!
Well, good thing we solved that mystery.
Yeah.
That's what the listeners, they tune in to find out about Mike Williams, fourth round pick.
Out of Syracuse.
Quality ball player. Okay.
We're bringing the nostalgia back. We're talking Culpepper, Moss, Mike Williams.
Early June. There's nothing going on, you know. We're going to deep dive into the roster in the second segment. So right now, it's just, you know, it's bullshit time.
We're filling your ears full of junk.
Yeah. People are going to like this. Any other, you know, random things we should talk about, you know?
I don't know. Kind of want to get my lawn done.
It's like, you should definitely call that weed man number and tell him Grapes and Gordak sent you.
Yeah, you know, these kids and their dog are laying on the grass. They're smiling. It just makes me want to pick up the phone and call 651-796-2346.
And tell him Grapes and Gordak sent you. All right, let's pause for a break here.
Yeah.
It's gone off the rails.
And welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us. That was a long break for you guys and all that.
It's raw. It's going to be sad when these breaks are actually filled with things, you know.
Well, yeah, people are going to...
But we're going to bring them great products.
Yes.
So really, it's great, you know. They will have to not hear us, which is very difficult, I understand, but...
Well, you know, sometimes a little change of pace is necessary.
Yeah, you know. We're big time. We're sorry, you know.
Yeah, you know, people...
First it was Weed Man, you know.
Yeah, and now it's... That,
we don't know the products yet.
No, but I'm sure they're great products.
Oh, yeah.
And they're probably, you know, everyone's going to want it.
Services or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, everyone's going to want it. Everyone's going to want it. You guys are going to order it every week. You're going to be like, oh, yeah.
You're going to order the same thing repeatedly.
Yeah. Or maybe it's a place where it's got, maybe it's food. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay. I want this all the time.
Okay, I like food.
Oh, I really like food.
Quality food. Okay, so, you know, first segment, we kind of just, you know, rambled, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
let's get
laid back.
Now we're going to, you know, we're going to do some real football talk. We're going to dive deep into this 90-man roster. I've studied it. I found out the good players are.
Broke it down.
Broke it down, yeah. You know, I really, you know, last year we didn't really, you know, we didn't know these guys. Brett Taylor, you liked him. I don't even know why. Why'd you like him?
Because he's...
Generic name. That's Brett why you Taylor. Liked him. It's terrible.
Because a guy with a generic name always makes the roster. That's what I was going off of.
That's not a bad theory. I gotta find. We gotta pick our Brett Taylor. Who's got the most generic name when we go through these guys? So
I like that.
Let's just start with offense for now because I don't know how long this is gonna take. If it goes a little long, maybe we'll save defense for another episode.
Sounds good.
But I'll just sort of hit you with let's kind of go through with camp battles. I don't want to spend too much time on the obvious guys. I think we don't need to break down Kirk Cousins. We all know Kirk Cousins. You know, quality ball player.
Yep.
You know, he's a lock. But Clark. Backup. Is that you?
Yeah, the click. It was me.
Is that glossy, how a lock?
Locking so, master lock?
They click like that, huh? Okay.
What noise would you make?
I don't know. I found it was reminding me of a seatbelt, what you just did.
Oh, that's too bad. Oh, and the driver's seat,
Kirk Cousins. Yeah, he's a very safe quarterback. So for the backup job, you got Sean Mannion, who we signed him, right, in a free agency.
Yep.
He was a former third-round pick.
Third-round pick.
Which surprised me. I knew he was earlier than I think people think. Third round. Dude's never really... He's only thrown 53 passes in the NFL. So he must...
I'm surprised it's that many.
Yeah, it's just mop-up duty. And then I think he started one game. Actually, it might have been last year when they were, already locked into a seed.
Okay.
53, though, it's like you... I think that means you're clearly not that good. Because you haven't even been able to, He showed nothing in preseason. That's the problem.
Well,
there's no hype behind him. Like, no one's attempted to trade for him. Third-round talent that never gets used, and then we picked him up for nothing. I don't know how these teams must talk, because the Rams front office must have been like, this guy's not that great. Yeah. But apparently he's got a cannon arm, so there's that. And he's, I don't know. He still was a third-round pick, 27. The other option, Kyle Sloter, always looks good in preseason.
Fan favorite.
Everyone lights up every him. Preseason. Great player.
And wears gloves.
And Teddy Two Gloves wore gloves. Yeah. So,
yeah.
He's 25. But who do you think's winning that backup job? The third option, actually. Let's throw him out there. Yeah. Jake Browning.
I like Jake Browning.
He started 53 games at Washington. That's as many passes as Sean Mannion has thrown in the NFL.
Ooh, there you go. Put some number. That's analytics right
that,
there.
Yeah, that's going deep. He set the records for wins, yards, and QB rating there. 2016, he was the Offensive Player of the Year in the Pac-12.
I was just going to say that. He,
and he
had some accolades.
Never matched that season again.
Well, he had John Ross.
I actually wrote that. Someone said that in one of, because I was reading up some, just draft profiles, stuff like that. They're like, yeah, that was John Ross. That was pretty much John Ross.
And Dante Pettis.
Oh, Pettis, too. Yes. Yeah. So he had Pettis for one more year then, right?
Yep.
But no John Ross. Both gone. So, yeah, from what I read, pretty good athlete, weak arm, had a bunch of injuries that kind of sapped all, his power. Hype, but, yeah. I mean, he's kind of a long shot, but maybe a practice squad guy. So
I like him in the Sean Hill role.
I like his name, Jake Browning.
Yeah,
that's a solid name.
Browning, isn't that a sort of rifle?
Yeah, that is a gun. Yeah, that's a shotgun, I think, or a gun brand or whatever. Browning. Oh, you could have kinds of nicknames. Like, his name compared to Sean Mannion, that's a bad name.
I'd rather have Jake Gunn.
Yeah, Jake Gunn Browning and Kyle Slaughter. That's kind of an annoying one. If you just say, we're just going to call him Slaughter.
Yep.
Much better, but I don't think that's the way it's actually pronounced.
I don't think so either, but if we had Browning, Slaughter, and Cousins.
That's pretty good, pretty good. Sean Mannion, terrible name. Not going to make the team. So I actually think, from what I've heard in OTAs, he's gotten every single backup snap so far.
Oh, really?
Sean Mannion has, yeah. So I think it's going to be tough for Slaughter to kind of fight his way in there. I think they kind of trust the veteran.
Okay.
UC is keeping three quarterbacks.
Yeah, I do.
I think ideally what they would want is keep the three main guys and put Browning on practice squad.
Yeah.
Sort of how I see it happening.
I'd like to see Sloter
That's the thing,
take
like,
the job.
I would certainly love to see Sloter win the job, because that kind of means like this young guy who's shown talent is like progressing.
Yep.
I kind of fear like he's just maybe
not. Is what it is.
Yeah, he is what he is, and they just
maybe he is.
How do you make all those plays in preseason and just you never get like a chance though?
Because they're all backups. Yeah.
Well, there's other
13.
You think Sean Mannion plays against anyone that good in their preseason games, and he never done shit?
Yeah, that's
I don't know. I'm rooting for Kyle Sloter.
Yeah, I'm not arguing against it.
I don't know why you're such a big Sean Mannion fan, right?
I don't know, because he's in that McVay system. I don't know, pumped about Mannion.
Would you so looking at quarterbacks, I would only say that Kirk Cousins is a lock to make the roster.
Yeah, I would say so too.
I'd be pretty surprised if Mannion was cut, but I can see it happening.
Yeah, I can see any of those guys getting cut or not making the roster. Mm-hmm. You know,
and I'd be it'd be pretty sad to see Sloter get cut, because he's a fan favorite. So yeah. Let's jump to running backs. We got 5 running backs in camp. Hold on, Ryan, you do some talking. Talk about Alexander Mattison. My dog is fired up.
We got Matt Dog Madison coming in. Third round pick. Vikings traded down a couple slots to get him. We must have really liked him. And he's a tough runner. He's completely different than Dalvin Cook. And I think that's kind of what we needed. I mean, a lot of people were like, well, who was the guy that they mentioned that was still there? Kind of has the same run style as Cook.
One Nebraska running back, Zigabo, a lot of people thought would be a good fit. We definitely went not the traditional zone runner. It was like more of a power runner. Like, it's kind of surprising with Madison. Like, but it's I think it's like more similar to Murray. It's like we wanted that short yardage, like going to get everything he can, good hands, good blocker, all around.
The way people are talking, it's almost like they're expecting Dalvin Cook to get hurt. But when you're building a roster, it's, no, I'm not expecting my starting running back to get hurt. I want to get him the perfect compliment to him.
Yeah, he's a great compliment. And then if you did lose Cook, he can't shoulder. Like, he's got the size and strength to actually shoulder the whole load.
Yeah, if we're winning ball games and you need him to carry the ball 20, 25 times, he seems like the back who'd be able to do that.
I think they needed to replace Murray, and they wanted a Murray type. You know, he's a little shiftier, a little more explosive, just because Murray's, you know, later stages of his career, but similar type back. I would consider the third stringer right now, Mike Boone. He was undrafted last year, made the 53. I always like guys that make the 53 undrafted. Because there's like draft picks that don't even make the 53. For you to show enough that you make the 53, I usually think that's... And he kind of looked good in preseason.
Yeah.
Strong runner.
Like, and then he made a couple plays here and there throughout the season.
Yeah, he didn't get to play much, but he did have a couple like little plays here and there where at least he showed he could...
He could compete. I like Boone.
I like Boone a lot.
He made a lot of plays in preseason. He was like, he was like the one guy last year that I didn't know anything about, but immediately just kind of like jumped off the screen.
You know what's funny? I was listening back to our very first podcast, which was predicting the 53-man roster. I had us keeping Cook, Murray, and CJ Ham. That's it. You had us keeping those guys and, damn it, now I don't remember his name. Who's the Washington scat back? Friends with Kirk Cousins. That's why you picked it, because he was like hanging out with him.
Yeah, who was that guy? Too bad.
Yeah, maybe I'll find it while we're going. But we both did not. We kind of were just like, oh yeah, Mike Boone, Rock Thomas, they sound like random undrafted guys, which is kind of why I want to dive into these guys a little more. So when you go to watching them in the preseason, you already know a little something about them. Where'd they come from? What their deal is.
Like, you can actually sit through an entire preseason game.
Yeah, you might actually be interested in the third or fourth quarter and be like, hey, there's that guy that was in the CFL that we picked up. That's supposed to be something good. I was just saying a random place.
Oh, I was going to say.
Boone was an undrafted from Cincinnati.
Because I think you said cornerback from the CFL.
I don't think we pick up any CFL guys this year.
Nope, I don't think so either.
Also, one random thing on Madison. Only 20 years old. Very young. Because I got all their ages down here, and that's...
Really?
A lot of rookies are 22.
Yep. I thought...
Even some are 23. But Madison, at least that's what... Wikipedia said.
He probably turns 21 later this year, but still. So he must have not redshirted. I wonder if he, because I thought he was a junior, so he must not have redshirted at all.
Well, how does that happen? Like Treadwell, how come he was so young when he came out? Because he came out as a junior and he didn't redshirt.
There's There's that.
Or is he young for his grade? I don't know how that works.
That was the other part.
That's got to be another factor, right? Yeah, but I remember LaTroy Guyon was super young. There's another guy. I mean, Amir Abdullah is only 25.
What wasn't that? That Texans D lineman, that Amobi Okoye, wasn't he drafted? Yeah,
he was super young. Who was the linebacker last year for the Bills? He was 19.
Tremaine Edmonds?
Yeah, Tremaine Edmonds. And then his brother got drafted. Everyone was like, why is this clown getting drafted?
In the first round.
Yeah, but yeah, that guy was like 19 years old. I'm pretty sure we have we got the youngest player in the entire draft this year. I'm trying to think who it is. Maybe it was Madison.
Probably Madison.
Because I don't see anyone younger. He's
20.
Pretty young. He's 20. That's crazy. Okay, so Madison, Boone. We got Rock Thomas. Very similar path as Mike Boone. He... undrafted free agent, made the 53, which, again, to keep two backup running backs, they must have looked good. And they did look good. Like, it wasn't one where it's only practice. We all saw them in preseason. They both looked really good.
There wasn't really anyone to take their job, but, that's essentially five running backs.
Yeah, you don't. Sprinkle in Ham. I could see definitely keeping, like, Mike Boone. His last name was Brown. Mac Brown.
In Texas.
No, he
was the coach.
That's good. It was Mac Brown, though, right? That little running back? Am I wrong now? Mac something.
I think the Mac is right.
Or is the Brown? It's going to bother me the whole time. Brown right? No, Mac Brown. There he is. Mac Brown. Washington running back. And then there's a picture of him last season.
We were trying to figure out who the third short guy was, and it was Mac Brown.
Yeah, exactly. He was hanging out with like Diggs and stuff, and it's like, oh, this guy's he's in the inner circle.
That's why it was like really Diggs, Thielen, and Cousins, and it was like, oh, they're.
So those, you know, Boone and Thomas did beat that guy out, you know, proud of him. But I would say the bigger thing is, like, we did not need to keep four running backs.
No, because we ended up, when did we get rid of Thomas?
When we basically waived him, then put on practice squad.
Yeah, who did we bring him?
Not sure, but.
Was that Aldrick Robinson?
Oh, that definitely could have been Aldrick Robinson, yeah. And, you know, that's sort of what I see happening here. They're going to try to. I think slide Rock Thomas on the practice squad. I'd rather keep Amir Abdullah, I think.
Yeah, I would too.
For just the kick return ability. You know, former second round pick, 25 years old. Seems like he's more of a scat back, that he doesn't really a kind of guy that is willing to take on.
I like Abdullah.
I like him. If I was a Lions fan, I would not like him because we burned a second round pick on him. Yes. But we got him for nothing as a kick returner, change of pace back. Picture when we had Dalvin Cook, Murray, and McKinnon. Now we have Dalvin Cook, Madison, Amir Abdullah.
Yeah.
Three different skill sets. You got your kind of your star running back, you got your power running back, and then your little scat back.
Yeah, and you can kind of have Abdullah do everything you have Cook do.
Just out of lesser ability.
Exactly.
You know?
So I mean, because Abdullah's a fine blocker out of the backfield.
Yeah, he's done it. He got good hands.
Yeah,
he's good shifty. Hands. Doesn't really have that breakaway speed.
No, but, you know, it's third and four, he'll get you six.
Yeah.
It's third and eight, he'll get you six.
So
the whole Leroy Horde. But scat back version.
The one thing Rock Thomas has going for him is he probably will get suspended, which means he'll at least be on kind of on the team for two to 4 weeks, however long his suspension is, because he bought a bunch of marijuana or had a bunch or was selling it. I'm not sure what he was doing.
Smoking it for sure.
So I would say locks at running back, Dalvin Cook, Madison. The rest, I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting if we, you know, carry four running backs this year, or if it's going to be
back just to three. Kind of a three. Because three seems a little more standard around the NFL. I mean, I could.
There are those teams that like to use their running backs and they keep four.
Yeah, but like the Patriots who keep they have like
five.
Someone showed a thing that the 49ers had running backs like crazy on their. Did like a formation breakdown of like how many running backs are on the field each play. And the 49ers are like just light years ahead of everyone. And then like halfway back is the Patriots. And then everyone else is just like. It's usually one. You have one running back on the field. Apparently not the 49ers. They're putting all kinds of guys out there. And they sucked. Who'd they have?
Well, I guess you're counting Juszczyk as a running back.
And he's, I guess that probably does change things because he's actually useful.
Yeah, so I mean, you could have him, you know, in line with two running backs in the backfield. Yeah. All of a sudden, you got three running backs on the field.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Which is probably something they did a lot.
Mm-hmm. And but yeah, as far
which you'll see more of this year out of the Niners.
Well, they signed Tevin Coleman and they got Jerick McKinnon back.
Yeah, and Matt Breida.
Yeah, they have him. And then and the Mozart, Raheem Mozart, whatever his name was. Monster. Yeah, he was looked pretty solid.
Yeah, so. He was fast.
I mean, they did that last year with Elf Morris, and that guy was pretty washed up. But if they, I think Abdullah, if we find a kick returner that's not him, it's going to be tougher to make the team.
True.
I think his big value is like, I'm a competent kick returner. I'm not going to pull a Stacey Coley and hand the ball to the ref.
Yeah. You know,
that kind of thing.
I wonder if he's a good punt returner.
You know, he didn't do it. So who was our punt returner? Well, Cheryl. Yeah, you can take in his job. I don't know how much they've had Abdullah back there, but we got some options there. I wrote down kind of who can be a punt returner. Speaking of special teams, something we did not touch on in the first half of the news section, the kicking coach.
Oh.
Before we go to the next position.
Yeah.
Nate Kading. Nate Kading. The former Charger.
I like it. I like it. We got ourselves a kicking coach.
We're taking kicking seriously now. You know, it took us like 10 heartbreaking misses, and Zimmer said, you know what? Why don't we like
bring a coach in.
Yeah, who just sits with those guys. Because you know the kicker, the punter, and the long snapper are always just fucking around on the side while the, you know, the special teams coach is actually just talking to the coverage units and the, you know, all that kind of stuff. So now you got a kicking coach who can just always be with the kicker.
Just, yo, while he's talking to them, come here.
Yeah.
What you did wrong is all this.
Yeah, here's something funny right here that, you're you know, you're hitching when you're coming up on your thing, or you're just anything that you could possibly see.
Or your plant leg is too wide, or your kid's too that stuff.
I do enjoy that it's Nate Kading, someone that I knew, he did choke in a playoff game pretty hard. But
I don't think about that stuff.
Apparently he's from Iowa.
Yeah.
That was the big thing.
Well, yeah,
like,
he went to Iowa University.
Oh, did he really?
University of Iowa, however you say it.
That was a weird way to phrase that, right? Iowa of University? Is that what you said?
No, Iowa University.
That still sounds weird.
Instead of University of Iowa.
Should have just said he went to Iowa. I would have got it.
He went to Iowa.
Thank you. Okay. So, yeah, I just thought of that. We, kicking coach. Zimmer.
Smart.
Innovative, you know?
Innovative.
I don't know.
For the Vikings.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's probably kind of, across the league, it's probably kind of rare.
I know some. I think some teams do have it, but it's. I don't think a lot of teams do.
I'll hold this short. Did you hear that the Bears are doing Augusta Quiet?
I saw a tweet about that. Yeah.
Or Augusta Silence.
So they're just kickers, like, making the kicker kick in silence.
Yes,
they've been pretty brazen about their kicking thing. Like, they just are like,
they're making it known that we're doing everything.
Yeah,
they can.
They're really embracing the fact that Cody Parkey could completely fuck their season. So they're just like, let's talk about kicking a lot.
Yeah.
Which I guess is sort of similar, Zimmer, like, to hire a coach and stuff. But like,
but it's not like last year. Never mind. I was gonna say it's not like last year any big missed kicks changed the course of our year.
Yeah, it's not like Dan Carlson.
Yeah, it's not like there was three of them. It's not like there was three of them that changed the course of the year.
Ugh. It is messed up how bad our kicking is every year.
Every year.
We signed Dan Bailey, who's supposed to be super good. I know he's, like, not the same Dan Bailey, but, like, immediately starts missing kicks. Like, what the fuck?
Well, and Blair Walsh, you know, he was damn good.
Man, that guy just, I think I talked about it before. Prefer said that he wanted to, like, look skinny. So, he didn't eat properly and shit. So, like, that's what he blamed on it. I don't know. Mike Prefer's kind of a goofy fuck, but.
Yeah, he. Dude always had the wildest things to say.
Yeah.
He's a good interview.
Yeah.
And where is he? Cleveland?
Cleveland, yeah. Yeah. He left this job to take the same job in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Well, I don't think we tried to get him back.
You don't think so? I don't think we didn't fire him, though. Like, no. If he would have just been like,
his contract was up.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure Chris Cooley was happy to see him leave.
I think he was.
Fullbacks.
Fullbacks. There's the one and only.
No, there's a second fullback. And I watched his YouTube highlights. This guy's name is Kari Blazengame.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Is it Kari or Kari?
K-H-A-R-I. So how would you pronounce that? Kari? Kari?
Oh, I'd pronounce it Kari.
Last name Blazengame. Game. Blazengame
for sure.
So
I like Kari though. Is he like the Hawaiian
Samoan?
Samoan?
I don't think so. That doesn't feel Samoan to me. Feels feels different. Maybe, though. I don't know. But number 48, keep your eyes out for him when he's in the preseason. Right. Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Undrafted free agent this year. And when I watched him, definitely not your typical lead blocker type. More of a CJ Ham type. Catches, can run a little, make a guy miss.
Is he more slender than Ham?
I would say very CJ Ham like.
Okay.
Not like CJ Ham's not some big dude like Kleinsaucer was as a fullback.
But he's no Juszczyk though either.
No, he's not a Juszczyk. He's a little hybrid. He's but they were running screens to him. They were dumping off balls to him.
Oh, so he's athletic for me.
He's an athletic big guy. I almost think he was more of a running back with them, just like CJ Ham was.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe he was a running back.
So get excited.
For Kerry Blazingame.
The only...
Kerry.
Kerry Blazingame sounded kind of cool.
Kerry?
We'll just call him Kerry. That sounded good.
Kerry Blazingame.
The only thing is, who doesn't love CJ Ham? You know? So and you're not keeping two fullbacks, but... Well, I liked it.
Stick him on the practice squad, you know?
There you go. Practice squad.
Have Browning to Blazingame screens.
I would consider no fullbacks a lot to make this roster, though. I could see us going without a fullback. Who knows?
Keep five tight ends. Use Irv Smith in the backfield.
I don't think we have tight ends. We have four. I did not like the other two. But Blazingame. Remember the name. Number 48. Definitely not your Brett Taylor, though. That name is wild.
Yeah, no. That doesn't come close. But
you know who?
But he does make a strong case for coolest name on the roster.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a solid name. It's close to being a terrible name, though. Like, it's looking at it, it's not nice on the eyes. It's an ugly name.
Yeah, but you know, you say it out loud. If you hear your blazing game,
if you embrace it and you say it like that, probably mispronounce it, just like we do with Kyle Slaughter.
Doesn't matter. You make it sound good, and all of a sudden you take that Sharpie and you Sharpie a man at number two for sure.
No, yeah, there we go. All right, let's go to tight ends. You got your Irv Smiths, you got your David Morgan. Notice I didn't say Kyle Rudolph. I do not consider him a lock for this team.
You got your Tyler Conklin.
You got Conklin, who. Getting pretty hyped at OTAs. There's a few guys that are getting a little buzz. Conklin. Getting a little buzz. Like, not just your average Taylor Conklin, you know? Like Tyler Conklin. Like, he's upped his game a little, you know?
Okay.
They're a little surprised, I think, that he's, you know... Because usually we draft tight ends and they just kind of suck.
Yep. And it's like, oh, you made the roster or you didn't...
You didn't get better again this offseason. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Bucky Hodges.
Thanks,
so you got
Michael Pruitt.
My goal through it. So, but we also got, so those are those four.
Yep.
It was Rudolph, Irv, David Morgan, and Tyler Conklin. I think they're going to keep four tight ends, and it's going to be those four.
Yeah.
Rudolph's a little bit of a wild card. I think the other three, damn close to locks. Now that Tyler Conklin got some hype, Irv Smith's a lock, obviously. David Morgan, right?
I would say so.
Yeah.
And, like, Conklin, yeah.
And Rudolph would be a lock if his cap situation wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
You know, like, his talent-wise, you're not cutting him if he was not expensive.
Yeah, or if we had the cap to just keep him.
Yeah, just to pay him. So the other two, Cole Hikutuni, you remember him?
No.
Yeah. Picked him up last year. He was an undrafted free agent by the Niners in 2017. Can't block worth a lick. Runs a 4.85. I don't know why he's there.
Camp body.
For 2 years, we've kept him around, though.
He's got a really good body.
He's got a great camp body. He seems like one of those that it's like just like almost like a Bucky Hodges. Like, okay, but he's 40 to 4.8, so I don't know. Never mind. He's not even close to
Bucky. And he can't block, so...
Yeah, that was when I
read... Give me a job.
You could do this job. When I read his reports, it was like, can't block with a lick. It's like, well, that's not good. Yeah, he's 24. So the other guy, Brandon...
How tall is he? Is he 6'9"?
6'4".
Okay, so he's 6 inches taller than me.
That's so if you were taller, you could be Cole Hikutuni.
Yeah, right. Hikutuni? Cole Hikutuni.
I think those Grappentines are known for their, you know, I don't see any Grappentines in the pros.
No, but I
do we remember Ryan Lindell, the kicker?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
My long-lost brother.
R-I-A-N.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing there.
He's wild.
The other tight end, at a Marion small school, Brandon Dillon. That's a pretty generic name.
Yeah, it is.
Brandon That's very Dillon. Brett Taylor-esque.
It is. But it's two first names.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But like Brett Taylor could be a first name.
Yeah, but it's... yeah.
I don't know. Brandon Dillon is the front runner. Oh, that's true.
I can't say it's not his first name.
Idiot. 22 years old, smooth route runner with good run after the catch ability. So maybe a chance to crack the roster. I just don't know how he could possibly make the team unless Rudolph is traded.
And even at that, you'd have to beat out Conklin. And
no, I mean, you keep four tight ends.
Yeah.
Which we did last year, did we? Must have only been three, huh? Rudolph, Conklin, Morgan, huh?
I think
unless
so.
Unless we kept like some other idiot, but
I don't think I don't remember seeing another idiot out there.
I don't remember any idiots running around. So Brandon Dillon, Cole Hikutuni, I think they're both getting cut.
More than likely.
But if we had to keep one, I prefer this Dillon fella. Hikutuni, I don't like that
guy. Well, generic name. Love it.
Yeah, you gotta love the generic names. Okay, let's go to tackle. Riley Reiff, quality ball player. Reiff. He said he would move to guard if they needed him.
Team player,
you know.
Now take a pay cut.
I don't know.
Now take a pay cut and play guard.
You're a guard. You will be paid as a guard. He's like, nah, I want to go back to left tackle. I would say he's a lock. Brian O'Neill, lock. Rashad Hill.
I want to say close to lock because
he's got the swing tackle ability.
He's been here for four.
And he doesn't go out there and embarrass himself, you know.
He's not Mike Remmers.
Yeah. I feel like he's peaked. This is what he is. He's 27. Yep. You're a backup swing tackle. You're fine for a spot start here and there, but you're nothing better than that. So then the three guys that are kind of fighting for jobs is Oli Udoh, the rookie. Sixth rounder out of, where was it? Elon. And I didn't realize how athletic he was. So he's big. What is he? 6'5", 320. What is my dog's problem? Maybe go outside or something. Jeez, he's looking at me all upset.
But he's athletic.
61st percentile. So, like, not amazing, but more than I thought. So he can move a little bit. So I guess he still fits the scheme a little.
Why don't we take a break?
Let's take a pause here. Let this dog. I don't know what this guy's talking about. And we're back.
Yes, we are.
Had to give the dog some water. Apparently, they need that to sustain.
It's weird, but then he also had to go outside and he drained the water.
Yeah.
So apparently, dogs need water and then just get rid of it immediately. I don't understand that.
It's too much for me. I'm very confused by it. But anyways, Oli Udoh.
61st percentile?
Yeah. Sounds like he's kind of a right tackle style, but maybe he could play some guard, too. Interesting enough. The other two, Aviante Collins.
Yep.
We know him. He was undrafted in 2017 and made the 53-man roster. Apparently was a great athlete. Did not know this. Ran a 4.8 at the combine. And repped 34 bench reps. But apparently had a bunch of injury history.
Yeah, he's at TCU. And they run, you know, a little spread offense and kind of do a bunch of weird stuff. So that doesn't really surprise me too much. I mean, 4.84, you said?
4.81.
4.81, like that's pretty outstanding fast for a lineman.
So which makes me think he could probably fit this more zone heavy scheme pretty good. I don't like how the injury history has followed him.
No, because it's still
was out for last year with an elbow, but he's a pretty light fella too. Like Oli Udoh, 6'5", 323. Collins, 6'4", 290. I mean, unless these are old weights, but I got him from Vikings.com, so who knows. He's 26 already, though. Thought he was maybe younger than that.
No.
2017 undrafted? That's only 2 years.
Yeah, but I think he was the guy who had some injury. I think he had, like, injury eligibility, so he stayed in school
later. That makes sense. The other tackle, Storm Norton. What a quality name for a lineman, Storm Norton. 6'7", out of Toledo.
Last year, right?
Yeah, he's originally undrafted, and the Lions picked him up. Spent time with the Cardinals, and then we picked him up. But super inconsistent. I don't know. I feel like those two tackles got a lot. I think Collins will make the team.
I think they want him to make the team.
Because he can play some guard, right?
He did play
he
guard.
He did play like guard,
in the preseason, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what I thought. They had him listed still as a tackle, but I thought he played some guard.
Yeah, because I think we... Were we starting with Rashad Hill at the beginning of preseason last year?
Was Reef hurt? I think, yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, and I feel like Collins came in with the second team, and then he would play like the last three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like sounds... he played a lot.
I wouldn't doubt it.
And he just kept like
moving around. Yeah. Speaking of guards, Josh Klein, Pat Elflein, Drew Samia, they're all making the team.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, they're all making the team.
I feel like those
the only one I could possibly see would be if Elflein just was like, but I don't see that actually.
No, because I think even if Elflein isn't good enough to start,
he's still
good
enough
to be your backup center.
And backup guard. Like, you could, yeah, he's flexible.
I think he's probably still better than Jones.
Brett Jones.
Brett Jones. Yeah. All right, I wanted to call him Barrett or Garrett. It's like, but neither of those
Garrett or Barrett. Well, it's Brett. Yeah, Brett Jones would be your other guy. So, talking about guards and centers, you got Brett Jones. Kind of think he is what he is. Guard, center, backup.
Yep.
Spot starter. He's like Rashad Hill in the interior. 27 years old. Got him in a trade last year. He's from Canada. Went to Regina.
Never heard of her.
Never heard of her. Terrible lady. According to Pro Football Focus, pretty good pass protector, not a great run blocker. So maybe a good scheme fit, because I feel like that's kind of what we've been aiming for.
Yeah, like we've said before, you can fix run blocking in the zone scheme.
We'll fix your run blocking as long as you can pass block pretty good. Uh-huh. Dakota Dozier, free agent we got from the Jets, 28 years old, former fourth round pick. Started both guard spots, but 28 years old, I kind of think he's backup depth.
Yeah,
he ain't winning a starting job.
Nope. I was a little excited like when we first got him, but then we got Klein.
No, Klein was first.
Klein was first.
But then you got Bradbury. It's like, we're this guy's
and
not.
And then you draft Samia.
It's like, you're moving Elflein to guard. So it's like, okay, well, now he's not cracking the starting lineup. Then you draft Samia. And it's like, well, now he's really not getting anywhere near it. So backup guard. Because I do think this next guy, Danny Isadora, I don't know how well he fits in this scheme.
No, he's pretty round, isn't he?
Yeah, he seems like a round fella. 6'3", 306 pounds. So, like, kind of, like, he's on the shorter end of our lineman. And he's... fifth round in 2017, kind of thought like in his rookie season he had a couple spot starts and people got a little excited about him.
Yeah, and he did spend some time doing like as our backup center while
Elflein was hurt. Was that this last offseason?
Yeah. So, but then you all of a sudden you get Bradbury and Elflein and Jones, and all of a sudden being able to play center doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, it doesn't help you nearly as much because I kind of think Jones can play both positions better than him. Elflein would slide over to center, I would think, if Bradbury got hurt. So maybe he just makes it as a pure backup guard, but he also, when I was reading up on him, like, not a good athlete at the combine at all. So to fit in this offense, I don't know how he fits that well. Because he was drafted in 2017 when we were still running more of the, was that Norv?
Yeah, Norv was
2017, and then halfway through it was Shermer, and then Shermer was all 2018.
Yeah,
and then it was DeFilippo, and Shermer was the one that kind of moved us more towards zone.
All of 2018 would have been DeFilippo.
Okay.
All of 2017 would have been
Shermer. So that means they drafted Isadora thinking he was going into Shermer's offense, which is still more. Like, they drafted Will Hernandez, and it sounded like we didn't think he was going to fit as well.
Yeah.
So, I don't... Maybe he runs a little more power than Stefanski's planning on it, but either way, I don't know. Isadora, kind of... He's only 24, but...
I don't think he's long for the Vikings roster. He might be long for the NFL, but I don't think he... like.
And he really just... He showed a little promise early, and it's really done nothing since. Like, you couldn't crack that line. You couldn't play over Brett Jones.
Tom Compton.
Yeah. Mike Remmers getting fucking...
barreled over.
Yeah,
that's so astounding to me that we couldn't do better than Mike Remmers at right guard. Or is it just maybe, the fact that we're paying him all
this money?
I was
just going to say that, yeah. Like,
you got to play him.
Yeah, well, and you were decent at right tackle, so, like, can't be that bad. We're paying you this money. Danny Isadora sucks. You know, what are you going to do? Cornelius Edison, Remember him, backup center?
I was just gonna say.
We just get.
I was gonna say, who are we gonna bring? Who are we gonna bring in? Cornelius Edison? Oh, well, here he is.
So he was originally a 2015 undrafted free agent of the Bears.
Really?
I thought he was a UDFA last year for us.
I agree.
Like, oh, there's Edison, some camp body that's getting pushed around.
Some 24-year-old rookie.
Played in some games as a rookie with the Bears, and then spent time in Atlanta, and then, yeah, he's still 25 and has been in the league since 2015.
How the
hell?
Yeah. Huh. So yeah, I guess, you know, I usually don't pay attention to the Bears and the Falcons.
Yeah, and you just see him pop up on our, you know, in a preseason game, and you think, well, this guy is, he must be new. Well, I mean, he was new, but it's like, he must be new to the league.
Yeah. Because
why is he here? Like, why would you? So, but I don't know. I didn't think he looked that great, but we kept him around.
Center eligibility.
Yeah. And the last guy, John Kinoy, 2019, this year, UDFA. I wrote down average size and speed, but apparently he's a tough and nasty blocker Western Michigan.
Ooh, Western Michigan. That's the P.J. Fleck guy. That's the guy who said that P.J. Fleck helped him a bunch. Good, like it.
Look at that. This is good. Now when you see John Kino, number 52, blocking in a preseason game, you go, that's the P.J. Fleck guy.
That's the big nasty that Fleck's bringing in the Big Ten.
This is what we need. What is the dog looking for? My dog has taken over this podcast. Is it in there?
No. Oh, he ate it.
What is wrong with him? Sheesh. All right, let's jump to defense. Oh wait, no. Yeah, let's jump to defense. We can fly right through this. We're only at an hour 5 minutes. You know, we usually go about an hour and a half. We got time. You know, let's talk. Defense end. Danielle Hunter. This is a deep spot. Wait, did we talk receiver?
Oh, no.
Oh.
That's why it's only an hour.
Yeah, because that is a deep...
Because you say there's nine?
There's nine receivers that I don't consider locks. Yeah. I only consider Diggs and Thielen locks.
So we have 11...
receivers in camp.
That is wild.
So you got your Diggs and your Thielen. Well, I mean, Diggs isn't in camp. Yeah. He's ruining the team chemistry. He's tearing the team apart.
He's
Schism.
He's not going to be able to gel with Cousins.
Oh, he's not even.
You can kiss that 1,000-yard season goodbye.
How can he even know where to line up? This is chaos. So let's start. We got little Chad Beebe. Did you know he's Don Beebe's son?
Yes, I did.
Breaking news. No, yeah.
Did you know? Wait, Chad Beebe, punt returner. Boom.
Yep.
Lock it in.
Think he's... Click. Not bad. So I wrote down classic white slot receiver. You know, like at his highest end, he's Wes Welker.
And at his lowest end, he's Julian Edelman.
He's basically a Hall of Famer.
All right. So wait a second.
I mean, he's going to be super quick on those little short routes. He's not going to go deep pretty much ever. He's never going to line up outside.
No, but...
He's got a very... narrow skill set, but if you can murder that skill set, you got a spot.
He is perfect for Bill Belichick.
Yeah, he's on the wrong team. Does he know that we're...
I don't think so. Did you see Adam Humphries said the reason why he chose Tennessee over New England is because of Tom Brady's age?
It's shocking. Because has he seen Marcus Mariota play football?
Have you seen Tom Brady play football at 41?
Yeah.
Still better than Marcus Mariota at 26.
I think Brady will be better than Marcus Mariota when Brady's like 63. So,
well,
Mariota's not a good quarterback.
He really isn't. Like
bottom seven, terrible. Well, Adam Humphries.
I mean, he wishes he was Chad Beebe.
Yeah, he
wishes his dad's name was Don.
Yeah, he's no Chad Beebe. Like the punt return thing you said, I think that's going to be a big factor for Chad Beebe making the team. I think he'd be pretty damn good at it.
Yep. So. And fifth receiver, punt return.
That's a perfect role. Like you're helping on special teams. It's another problem. Talk about Shaquan Treadwell. Not that great. I mean, did they finally stick him on some? They did stick him on some return stuff, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
I don't think he's that good at it. So it's like you bring like very little. He wasn't returning the ball. I mean, like, coverage units.
No,
he was like,
yeah.
Because he can't return the ball.
Or as a gunner.
Yeah. Like, you're kind of probably not that good at that either.
Probably not. Because,
So, the only thing Treadwell has going for him is that he's 23 years old. And he had enough talent to tear up college. and to be a first round pick.
And he wears those white sleeves.
He does look good. He does look good. I don't know if he makes this team, but you can't cut him. I think he's like behind Rudolph, like trade wise. He needs to be trade like.
Yeah, if there's two players that need that to be could moved,
possibly like I wouldn't. I guess I don't say like need, yeah like. But if there's one player that needs to be moved, it's Treadwell, and like. I don't like a possession receiver. Is that
really what we need? Kepler's got 3 home runs tonight.
Max Kepler putting on a clinic. Wild. Guy's good. He's going to win this game single-handedly. Something Laquon Treadwell has never done.
I don't even think Laquon Treadwell could hit one home run. And by that, I mean a 50-yard touchdown.
he only has like one touchdown ever, right? The Packers one?
Yeah. Yeah, it was his first career touchdown.
I thought it was a breakout season. Week 2, catching that touchdown. And by the end of that game, he was enemy number one. Oh, dropping slant passes for picks. And then dropping like multiple other passes. So you got Chad Beebe. You got Treadwell. Treadwell, 2 years younger than Chad Beebe.
Treadwell's on the up and up. He hasn't even hit his physical prime.
Yeah. Give him 2 more years and Treadwell will be as good as Chad Beebe. It's
fact. How long did it take Stephon Diggs to get really good? 3 years?
Are you asking this seriously?
Yeah, you know. How old was he? How old was Diggs when he had his breakout year? 24? 25?
Do you know what year he had his breakout year? It was his rookie year. Okay, you're joking, right? You're upsetting me.
I'm just saying, you know, Treadwell's got some time.
Treadwell. no, his time is, this is it. Diggs is 25.
So he had his breakout year at 23.
I hate you. It is tough, man. And Treadwell came in at so young. So young. Okay, let's...
It sounded like you said Tho-Young.
Tho-Young, Treadwell. No, it's stuck. That's what Spielman always does to him. Can't pronounce his fucking name for shit.
I know, I've been laughing at the Treadwell.
It was never a good sign when we picked him, and one of the first things they were babbling about was his blocking.
Yeah, that's true.
It was like, oh, but have you seen his run blocking?
It's like, wait, did I just draft a slender tight end?
Yeah. That seems like something we should not care about with a first pick.
Yeah.
Anyways, a lot of receivers to get through, so let's move on from Treadwell. Jordan Taylor, getting a lot of hype during camp. That's the
Denver.
The Denver. So he was a – we picked him up from Denver. He's 27. He had surgery on both his hips. These are red flags a little bit, but a lot of experience with Kubiak. Nick Olson did a little couple gifts on him, you know?
Yeah.
Surprisingly shifty. A little yard after the catch, doing some punt returning in camp.
Isn't he more of like an average receiver height? 6'1", 6'2"?
No, 6'5". Tall guy.
He is tall. Okay.
He's a tall fella. Okay. So,
which, yes, and that's what made him surprisingly shifty. When you see how shifty he is, it's like, oh.
You wouldn't expect the big, tall, lanky guy to be making the people miss, but he was.
Yeah, because he's got higher center of balance.
He's like, so you think higher center of balance would help you? Wouldn't
lower? No, it would.
Oh, no, you're saying that's why it surprised you. Yeah. Okay, all right, okay. Yeah. I got you. I hear you, you know. He's been getting most of the wide receiver 3 snaps at OTAs.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess Treadwell Thielen.
No, Treadwell ain't getting no good snaps. I think when they say 3, they mean it's Thielen and Taylor out there. I think BB's getting snaps over Treadwell. It ain't looking good for old Treadwell. But part of me thinks this Jordan Taylor thing, like, I feel like it could be because he knows a little more about the offense because he's been in it. He got to, you know, he started off a little bit ahead of these guys, got to get some highlights on tape, and now he's going to just kind of fade away. I don't see him. 27-year-old, is he with surgery on both hips?
Yeah.
That basically ruined Sidney Rice's career.
Yeah, you can't be very explosive at that point.
Yeah, so.
And especially if you're like a shifty receiver. I mean,
if he was younger.
Coming in and out of breaks.
If he was younger, he would be right up there with the Brett Taylor, though. Because that name, Jordan Taylor, Brett Taylor. Jordan, I feel like, isn't as generic enough, though. It's pretty generic, but it's a first name.
No, but, you know, being the brother of last year's.
Yeah,
you know,
it helps. It helps.
You know, we're going to have to come up with an award. You know, Brett Taylor is going to have to live in infamy in this.
Well, it's like, isn't there like a radio station that does the Mr. Mankato? And they kind of like, who's going to be who was that receiver for years that was always, Jamar Johnson, and then there was another one later on too.
Andre Allison.
Yeah, he was always kind of hyped up. I feel like we go the other way. We pick up Brett Taylor, you know, the Brett Taylor Award.
Yeah.
Most generic nobody that Ryan thinks is going to make the team because he's a generic nobody.
I like this. Just based on, it's just my thing.
It's just you, yeah. I'm not
the Brett Taylor of the year.
Brett Taylor of the year. Right now, I feel like it's still that one guy. Who was it?
Brandon Dillon.
Brandon
Dillon right now is the Brett Taylor of the year. The Brett Taylor Man of the Year Award.
Man of the Year. Almost as prestigious as the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
I honestly think it's more prestigious.
Many people are saying it's more prestigious. Believe me.
The whispers are out there.
Okay, we have Dillon Mitchell, drafted this year, 7th round, out of Oregon. So his little scouting report, lacks top-end speed, but still 4.46. Not a burner, but definitely
still fast enough.
Natural ball skills, playmaking abilities, but has some maturity issues and work ethic problems. So if you could squirm away in the head, he's got the ability to be good. So surround
him with Diggs and Thielen.
Yeah. Diggs isn't there. So Diggs is letting the team down. He's letting Dillon Mitchell down.
That's fine. We got Rudolph in there. He's a leader.
Yeah. You know, he's doing it, and he's only getting paid $7 million. You know, he's leaving a 5-year contract on the table. You know, check out Rudolph.
Team player.
So that's Dillon Mitchell. Kind of a, you know, I feel like he's got the skills, might not have the brains.
Yeah, no, I watched some of his highlights and everything.
Good highlight. Real good highlight, real. It was, who's that quarterback that's supposed to be good there? Herbert, yeah. So it's kind of his go-to guy. The other receiver this year in the 7th round was Olabisi Johnson, Colorado State. He's kind of the opposite. He's not a physical specimen. He's 4.51, a little slower, but he's smart, he's savvy, good route runner.
Sounds like
consistent, reliable.
I was going to say, sounds like a guy that Cousins could, you know, find a home for.
Yeah, kind of guy I think Cousins going to like more than the guy who's the head case, you know?
Yeah.
You know, or he knows where to line up. You know, that's always good.
Yep, so, knows where to line up. You know, Cousins knows where he's going to be. He's robotic in that sense.
Yeah, he needs you to be where you should be, or he will malfunction and throw the ball backwards.
Exactly.
It's happened before. Oh, God. couple other guys. Brandon Zylstra made the team last year. Kind of a surprise, I thought. You know, it was had a pretty good surprise. Preseason, but like...
But I was not expecting him to make that. He was one of those guys who's like, yeah, he looks good, but there's really no spot for you. Well, we found a spot for him.
Mm-hmm. He was in the CFL. I don't know if you remember that. That's where he came from. Led the CFL in receiving in 2017. And I thought he didn't get a much playing time last year, but I thought when he was out there, he never screwed up.
Yeah, I was going to say he never hurt us.
Yeah, always...
It's not like he, you know, had a...
He made the most of his very limited opportunities.
Yeah, he didn't, you know, have a slant route drop off his hands for a pair of Lambeau. Crunch time. You know,
who are you referring to?
I don't know, some guy. What? He's like 23, former first-round pick. Wears ones.
One of the, like, I'm pretty sure he was the top recruit coming out of college. We're talking about Treadwell, not Brandon Zylstra. Still more receivers. There's tons of them. Jeff Bidet. This guy. What is going on in this?
God bless America.
Oh, wow. I was like, what is... Oh, it's... D-Day. I was like, they're really taking this to the next level. But back to Jeff Bidet. 4.27 at the pro day. Last year, he was an undrafted free agent.
Yep.
Practice squad. Jets tried to steal him from us, and we had to give him more money so he wouldn't leave. So that's always good. I think it's always a good sign when another team tries to steal your guy.
Yeah, and it's even better when, like, you know, guy's going to get stolen. He's like, no, I'll stay.
Yeah, I mean, a good sign as far as he likes, like, the coaching staff. He likes, you know, everything about this team. Also, like, that was the Jets, because we always fuck over the Jets. That's what we do. Even practice squad guys are like, no, thank you, New York.
Yeah, we're done. Unless you're who's Trevor Siemian, but he's not a true Minnesota.
Yeah, he's a fucking joke. That George Payton, our assistant GM, Patton. George Patton. He's turned him down 3 times for a GM spot.
3 times?
He didn't even want to interview with him 3 times. Wow. 3 different times. I mean, they've been just turning through GMs there. It's crazy. So Jeff Bidet, whatever. If this guy, he had one real nice highlight in OTAs already. maybe he could be our burner.
If he can catch, I need you to run one route.
Yeah.
And that's the nine.
Yeah.
Just go.
Just run. And he does bring a skill set that none of these other guys have. Not even Diggs or Thielen are 4.27 speed.
I'd love it if one of those two. If one of those two are 4.27 speed, there would be no question on who's the best receiver in the NFL.
Yeah. So, but if he Diggs. Can. That's why he doesn't need to come to OTAs. Yeah. He's already the best. But yeah, I think that if he could show something, I'd like to see him make the team. I'd like to see that speed because I think that deep threat. Like, can you just be better than Aldrick Robinson? Come on. Can't you do that?
I feel like a lot of people. Well, Bidet, like, for real, 4.27 speed. We had Robinson run corner routes.
Yeah.
Go routes.
Mm-hmm.
Little hitch routes.
Probably. That's about it. Yeah. Maybe the occasional slant. I know he had a couple slants. But I think Bidet could do that. Just got to make sure you've got the hands and you know where to line up and you know what routes to run and how deep to run them. I think it's a lot of, like, the thinking stuff that gets a lot of these guys. Yeah, you know,
that's true.
You land up too far wide and then Cousins threw it because you're like 6 yards away from where you're supposed to be, you know? I feel like that's part of Treadwell's problem too.
Or boom, you ran out route while somebody's running an in or running a slant and you ran into each other because you're 3 yards too close.
Exactly. So you broke spot. You completely mistimed the whole play. So that's Bidet. So we had Beebe, Treadwell, Bidet, Mitchell, Olabisi, Zylstra, Jordan Taylor. Now we got the two undrafted guys this year. First one's Alexander Hollins, 6'1", 170. It's a light fella. He's slender. He's skinny, 4.4 speed, little deep speed, so maybe not quite as fast as Bidet, but got some speed. And he was super productive in college, but Eastern Illinois.
Yeah, smaller school.
Is he the guy I sent you that had the sweet catch, or the other guy? I think it's the other guy. This guy's name is Alexander Hollins.
No, I think it was the other guy.
Number 85, in case you want to, you know, find him in the preseason.
Okay. Greg Childs, I believe, was 85.
Greg Childs blew out both his patellar tendons in one play.
Oh, poor guy.
Jarius Wright's teammate.
Oh.
Eastern Illinois, though, Alexander Hollins, I think that is Tony Romo's college, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, and Jimmy Garoppolo's.
No. Yeah, you might be right. Is it? No.
Eastern Illinois?
Yeah. Is that Jimmy? So good players coming out of there.
Oh,
not bad.
It's a hotbed.
It's a hotbed for talent.
Lovey Smith can't push them out, so these guys do.
Yeah.
Max Sharping? Or is that Northern Illinois?
Northern Illinois. Let's go over there.
Oh, man.
That's where Chad Beebe's from.
Northern Illinois.
Northern Illinois. Yeah. Our receivers are some from bizarre places, like Moorhead. Brandon Zilson went to Moorhead.
Hey, Phil went to Moorhead.
Yeah. That can't be where good players come from.
No, because they went like 1-10.
So the last receiver, Davion Davis, also undrafted this year. Super smooth, punt return ability. Like a poor man's Diggs with like the little stop and starts, you know?
Okay.
He was doing a lot of that. Not super fast, but quick. And Ben Lieber actually brought him up on the radio saying that he impressed him.
Okay,
at OTAs, that he was popping off the screen a little compared to the other receivers. You know, he made it come
off the field.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know how to refer to that, you know, because he was there in person. You
jumping
know?
Out of the field.
He just looked like a smoother athlete, he said. You know, he's like Treadwell's a little, you know, he's smooth, but he's a little lumbering. He's not as, you know, as smooth as you think. And this Davion Davis, really, he thought he's a fluid athlete, number 16, okay. Sam Houston State.
Good hips, huh?
Fluid hips.
I'm a fan of the fluid hips.
Yeah, Mike Hughes knows.
Mike Hughes versus Davion Davis.
Remember the name.
I was thinking of Hollins.
Alexander Hollins.
Yeah.
So receivers, what do you think we keep? 4 to 6 is kind of a normal number.
I think you're at least keeping 5. I don't think it's 4.
I mean, it's Diggs. It's Thielen. And then who else? If you were to pick the three favorites.
I think right now my three favorites.
If you were to bet your life on who will make this team.
Chad Beebe.
Okay, I agree. I mean, if I go
Brandon
Chalk.
Zylstra.
Yeah, see, if I go Chalk, I'm seeing Zylstra and I'm seeing Treadwell. Because if you can't trade him and you can't cut him, he's on the team. And at that point, I think you're keeping 6.
Yeah, because I think you're keeping.
The thing is, I do think you can slide those two seventh rounders on a practice squad, probably. I think. Seventh rounders, it's usually pretty easy to slip them through.
Yeah, unless they're really good players, but at that point,
you're then you keep them, yeah.
Because like that's what the Bears did last year with that Javon Wims.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Like, they kept him, yeah.
Shit, he's too good yeah. to run a practice
squad. He's shown far too much in this preseason. Well, so let's say you keep Diggs, Thielen, BB, Treadwell, Zylstra. That's five. Your battle for the sixth spot would be
Dylan Mitchell,
Olabisi Johnson, Jordan Taylor, Jeff Bidet, and then the two undrafted guys.
I don't know.
Do you go with the speed of a Bidet, or do you go with the rookie that shows the most, or the size of Jordan Taylor?
See, I want Bidet, but I feel like you should. I kind of want Dylan Mitchell.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want Bidet. If you're going one guy out of that group,
just skill set wise, like give me that 4.2 speed.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't know. We've got everything else.
It's like a super thin position, but like a lot of guys in camp competing. Because like after Diggs and Thielen, it's a lot of unknown. Like it's kind of scary.
Yes, and who knows? Maybe a couple of these guys. Maybe there's two of these guys out of the undrafted and the guys we did draft. Two rookies. Yeah. Where it's like, oh. Well, two of you can actually play ball.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is. You throw nine guys into a pile and you hope a couple show something, like Zylstra did last year, you know?
Yeah. We always seem to
Chad Beebe did last year, too.
We always seem to kind of have a pile of receivers, yeah. Don't we?
I'm guessing, like, it's just such a position that it's like you could just throw so many athletes out there and it's like, let's see what you got, so.
Yeah, and like receiver, I feel like that's a, there's always, you know, four. On the field,
yeah, you need. Well, yeah, you're gonna keep almost probably usually five of them. So, well, that's the offense. Do we want to try to roll through the defense quick, or do we want to save it for maybe next week? I'm gonna be gone though for a week and a half. So,
hold on. What does this calendar kind of look like? Because it's the 6th of June.
Do we know next Wednesday. When does
what's it called? Training camp start last weekend of July.
Yeah.
So we got, if we do 2 weeks, what are you back? The 19th?
Yeah, 20th, around there.
20th.
This is great content, by the way.
Yeah, well, we've got great, I don't know, we've got time to do the defense tonight, but we also have time to
fill, yeah. So maybe next week, or not next week, but next episode we do a little news. Second half, we'll hit the defense. It's
defense, special teams. Because, I don't know, do we have...
I didn't see any kickers in camp, but we do have that one center that I don't know what his deal is.
Yep, the long snapper who has yet to sign.
Yeah. And we don't know if we can sign him. We don't know what the fuck's going on with him. You know what we can end with, though? Your boy Carson Wentz has just got locked up to a 4-year extension, 6 years total, $33 million a year.
Oof.
Something like that.
4 years.
How are they going to sign any other players?
I have no idea. How do they keep signing players?
How do they do it?
I mean, it's just
they have a really good front office, actually. Yeah, it's a very good front office.
Rivals the Vikings.
Yeah, it's
as the best.
Oh, okay. Then and the Patriots, they're pretty good at it.
Yeah, well, rivals the Vikings as the best in the NFC.
Well, and it is a little harder for teams like the Eagles and the Vikings who actually have to pay their quarterback market value.
Yeah.
Instead of, just getting Brady to take less money, a little difficult. We're just looking at Wentz got the extension, and so it's the five guys now that make more per year than Cousins. So I think a bigger cap than Cousins would be Ryan, Rodgers, Roethlisberger, Wentz, and Wilson.
Yep.
And then I noticed right below Cousins is Jimmy Garoppolo, who makes half a million less, and Stafford, who makes $1 million less. Nobody ever says that they're taking up too much cap.
Which is, because they're not. Because the Lions went fucking stir crazy this year.
Yeah, the only reason people are saying that is because we're up against the cap. Because we have a stacked roster of players that we had to give extensions. I know we talked about that earlier when I went through the division. It was like, we've given out extensions to like...
Was it 12?
It was like low teens amount of our draft picks. And then plus guys like Linval Joseph, who we signed and then extended again. The Detroit Lions had like two. It was like Stafford and that corner. Darius Slay.
And then, like, the Packers had, like, five.
Yep. And then it's like, well, that's why the Packers had the money and to go sign four guys in free agency. That's why Detroit went and signed a bunch of guys. Because their rosters are depleted because they're terrible at drafting.
Yeah, we are good at drafting.
It's not Cousins' fault that we drafted so many good players, we couldn't keep them all. Oh, wait, we did. We let Sheldon Richardson leave.
Who wasn't even ours.
Yeah, who is someone we just signed. He's a rental.
It was like, oh, we've got some leftover space. Yeah, why don't you come aboard?
We've lost all of our leftover space because we had to pay all the players, not just Cousins, you know? And, you know, if you weren't paying Cousins, you'd have been paying Teddy, who would have probably commanded the most money of any quarterback ever.
In NFL history. Yeah,
probably a 10-year, fully guaranteed lifetime contract, actually.
I'm thinking his deal would have been probably a 5-year At least $230 million.
Yeah, and I bet you he chugs a beer better than all these other quarterbacks. You know,
he's
an athlete.
While he's riding his bike in the locker room.
These are facts. So people complaining about this, complain about Stafford and his
complain
contract.
About Carson Wentz some more because he sucks. I like it when we complain.
The comments on the tweets where they announce like Schefter or someone says here's the contract and everyone's like, that's a pretty expensive IR spot, or he hurt his wrist signing the contract. People are just trolling, they don't care.
And there's some good material there. It's like, I could have thought of that, but I didn't.
But someone did, and it made me laugh.
Or I thought of that, I wish I would have tweeted it, because that's funny. That's even better reading it.
That's good stuff. All right, well, so we'll hit you back, I don't know, a couple weeks from now?
Yeah, probably around the time you get back.
Yeah, probably. A
couple days
after. Yeah. Early that week, we'll come back with just the news of the week and then do some defense and
get you guys kind of
we'll be getting close to
ready for training camp.
Then we can kind of maybe do our 53-man breakdowns like we did last year. Do some over unders. We could probably do some over unders this month too. Those are always kind of good filler.
That's true. Do they have the over under line?
Yeah,
pretty
much all of them are out because the rosters are basically set at this point. You know, unless you're signing fucking Gerald McCoy late in the game.
Yeah, that's true. We could have mentioned Gerald McCoy signing with the Panthers. I mean,
That's something.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucs only saved what? They saved $4.5 million by going from McCoy to Sue.
Yeah.
And
you think that's an upgrade or a downgrade?
Downgrade, I think.
I feel like they think he's a better scheme fit. So I feel like
that's right. They're moving to 3-4.
Yeah, but then the Panthers, aren't they at 3-4?
No.
I thought they moved to 3-4.
I thought they were 4-3.
Well, because it's Ron Rivera. He's certainly a 4-3. But I thought someone was saying that they're going to try to mix in some 3-4. But maybe it doesn't sound like Ron Rivera, though.
No, it doesn't. But then again, McCoy is... might not be the perfect scheme fit, but if you're the Panthers, you're running a 4-3. Yeah. You need a guy like McCoy to jump out to the outside.
Yeah. So, we didn't get him because Rudolph and Cousins are taking up all the money.
Yeah, and Diggs and Barr and...
Kendricks and Harrison Smith and Limbaugh and Joseph and Everson and Griffin.
And Hunter and...
Thielen.
Gideon.
Reef. Wait. Tried to slide Gideon in there. You tried to slide him in there, but I caught you. Took a few seconds. All right, we're out of here. Don't forget, we're powered by Overtime Media. We're coming at you next week. We might even have some ads next week.
Unless hopefully we get some ads in this one. Other than Weed Man.
Call Weed Man. Tell him Grapes of Gordex sent you.
And you guys have a great week.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I hit record, right?
Yeah.